Hello, everybody. Welcome to another day of our telesummit. It's about how you live, taking the fear out of conversations about advanced care planning, serious illness, and end-of-life care. And a very important topic related to all of those things is grief after the loss. And loss can take on a lot of different forms, not just the death of somebody. And we are so excited. Like, this is really a treat. We have... I don't want to mispronounce your last name. It's Paul, is it Denniston?
Denniston, yes.
Denniston. Paul Denniston is a, his website is griefyoga.com. So welcome, Paul.
Hey, thank you, Tina. Good to be here.
This is a real treat because I'd honestly never heard of somebody incorporating yoga into grief and healing from grief. And so I am so looking forward to learning so many great things from you. Before we get into it, I would like to read a little bit of your bio so everybody knows you a little bit better. So, Paul is actually in Studio City, California, and he travels all over the place to do this, but he is a certified teacher in several different forms of yoga. He studied grief from some of the top leaders in loss. He's combined many different forms of yoga with the intention to help heal loss. Paul connected how the passionate space of yoga became a sacred place to feel, release, and heal. Paul teaches grief yoga to bereavement groups, addiction, loved ones dealing with Alzheimer's, to healing after a breakup, betrayal, and divorce. Paul has taught this practice to over 5,000 therapists, counselors, healthcare professionals, and teaches workshops in several locations that he will tell you all about. So again, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Tina.
I think everybody's just going to learn so much. So I guess I should just start sort of with the basic, and that is, how did you get into teaching this?
So I'm originally from Texas, and so yoga is not big in Texas. Nor are men having feelings. So I was taught at a very early age to not deal with grief. I was taught to basically, you know, don't cry, just go do something about it. And so that's how I basically handled grief and loss. I avoided it. Wow. And so when I went to a yoga class about 20 years ago. The sense of yoga is a balance. You're doing the postures, you're doing exercises, but it's also a place of being. They call it a moving meditation. And so in that places of being, all of that unresolved grief that I had been running away from for, you know, the first couple of decades of my life kind of all caught up to me within this space of a yoga mat. And I would have this powerful release in the class. And I was like, wow, my body, it's holding on to so much. And I feel like I need to kind of go deeper into it. And so as I became a teacher, I became fascinated with places of focusing on intentions. In class, we would treat, what's your intention for being here? What's your intention for taking class? And as a teacher, I thought, well, what if I created an entire practice with the intention of healing and processing grief and loss?
So let me stop you real quick for our listeners. And I've taken yoga and I absolutely love yoga. But for people out there, some of the viewers that may have never taken yoga, so before you got into, you know, focusing on grief, when you were going to those classes, like what would be some typical intentions people would say, okay, this is why I'm here today?
It could be many different things. Some people can say, you know, I want to find more flexibility. I want to quiet my crazy mind right now. I want to develop more balance and more strength. So, there are so many different intentions, and I think it's very individual for what your intention is. But as a teacher, I thought, what if I brought in the intention of healing and processing grief? I feel like sometimes you teach what you need to learn. Mm. And so I felt like I wanted to create a class that honored loss, but it was also a place to celebrate life and to reconnect with love and gratitude. But I also feel like, when you don't allow yourself to feel feelings fully, it gets stuck in the body, and the body remembers. And we carry these issues in our tissues that need to find a way to breathe. And the reason that I find yoga to be a really great space to do that is that the heart of what yoga is about is about compassion. Mm. And yoga, it means union, and it's creating harmony within the mind and the body to help lift the spirit.
It means and union. You said union.
Union. Yeah.
I knew that. Interesting.
And you know, when we're coming from a place of grief and loss, the root of the suffering is in a place of disconnection. We're disconnected from our loved ones. We're disconnected from, you know, maybe hopes and dreams of what we thought would be. It roots in disconnection. And so the amazing thing that yoga provides is it provides union and connection within yourself, within your mind and body. And as I teach the class, there's a lot of the times where they find, you know, connection with their loved one who might no longer be physically here. So there is a, it's a blend of mind, body, spirit, union.
Wonderful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So my next question was going to be, what is grief yoga? And I think you just explained it, but if you want to go deeper about specifically grief yoga and how you define it in the various forms of yoga that you practice.
Yeah. So there are many different forms of yoga that I teach. There's different types of yoga called Hatha yoga, which is really about holding postures and finding breath. There's a thing called Vinyasa flow, which is flowing breath to movement. There's a yoga practice called Kundalini yoga, which is specific powerful techniques and postures to kind of raise the vibration and really move through where you're feeling stuck. Restorative yoga is a very gentle practice that's perfect for dealing with trauma, or if you feel like you have a lot of injuries and you just need to kind of like have a gentle practice that's there. There's also laughter yoga, which are laughter exercises with deep stretching and breathing. And there's also movement and dance. And so what I do is I take all of them, and I bring union within all of these different branches of yoga, and I kind of create it into be a bit of an experience, a bit of a journey that helps you to kind of go into where is it that I'm feeling stuck, where is there resentment or anger or frustration, and kind of the only way to get out of the pain is to go through it. So we go through it using some doing a warm-up first, using some powerful exercises to push through where you're feeling stuck, and then to start to work on lifting the vibration up, whether it's through laughter exercises, whether it's through movement and dance. So it's kind of a bit of a journey of life. So,
amazing. Yeah. And I know before this interview is over, you're going to show us some, kind of demonstrate some. And so whenever that is the right time to do that, then just go right ahead. So what have you experienced in teaching yoga as the instructor? How is that, what has that experience been like working with all these people who are dealing with so many different grief issues?
I think it just comes from how loss is universal, and we all are experiencing grief, and it can be in many different forms. It can be, you know, the loss of a pet. It can be the loss of a loved one. It can be the loss of a house the breakup and divorce. I teach it to cancer support centers, and there's a loss of your physical abilities you have to grieve. I teach it to Alzheimer's centers, and there can be a loss of, like, I have to grieve the dreams that will never be. I'm losing, you know, my husband is physically here, but his mind is no longer here. There's anticipatory loss of grieving the loss that's coming. So I think that loss is just something we have to become friends with. And we have to learn how to hold it in a compassionate space. And I just became really fascinated in how just ways to discharge it and let it move through the body. And it's just been an honor to guide people through it, because I see them, how they're disconnected and feeling a little stuck or isolated. I'll have them do these exercises, and they find liberation. And it's just an honor to guide it through, and it just recognizes you're not alone in your loss.
And I would imagine so many people don't want to deal with it because it's painful.
Sure.
And maybe yoga is a sort of friendly, compassionate, safe place where it doesn't feel like you're just going to have to hit your head on a brick wall and deal with it. You know, it just seems like it just makes for a more welcoming, loving place to have to go through that hard feeling.
Sure. And I agree. Who wants to go through grief? Grief is exhausting. You know, who wants to do it? But the fact of the matter is, if you don't really allow yourself to feel grief, then sometimes it's hard for you to experience deep happiness.
Right.
Or deep peace. So I think the problem, and I speak from experience here, is when we try to avoid it, what happens is it just starts to become like a dark cloud that just hovers over us. And it can come from a place where we can get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not allowing ourselves to feel the sadness. But the sadness is actually an expression of love. The sadness is actually, you know, David Kessler, who is a grief expert that I work with, he talks about how a broken heart is also an open heart. And so I think that we have to recognize that even within our grief and our loss, it's actually an expression of our love. So that's really the intention for me as I help people guide it through, is like, don't be afraid of the grief. These tears can actually be just an expression, your body's expression to allow your soul to heal. And so I have recognized within my own life that when I did surrender to the grief and the sadness, it actually made me feel happier. It made me feel more loving, and it brought me more peace.
Right.
But it's really about opening. I create the practice to be for emotional liberation, and to where the waves of emotion just move through us, and we don't try to like not deal with the difficult emotions. We just allow all of them to flow through, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger. They all serve a purpose. I think, you know, speaking about anger, anger serves a purpose within our grief because grief can be so exhausting that anger can light a fire within us to help us to move forward.
Right.
Anger can be our teacher that can say there is an injustice that is happening and I need to step up and I need to go and do something about it. I think like what happens, you know, in anger is a part of grief. Mm-hmm. It's one of the stages.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens that can keep us stuck is when we don't allow the anger to move through our body, our mind, it can get stuck within us, creating bitterness and dis-ease and cynicism. You know, and the anger can be
health
an anger.
Issues.
And say that again?
Health issues.
Health issues, absolutely. Oh my goodness, absolutely. And it can be anything from being angry at a disease or angry at the hospital. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross will even speak about how it's okay to be angry at God. God can take it. But if, you know, I was just dealing with my sister who's been battling advanced stage 4 cancer.
Oh,
and she has the deepest faith that I've ever seen. And yet there was a point where she needed to express, you know, anger at God. God, why aren't you here to help me? And it was okay because, you know, God can take it. But after she expressed it and moved it through, she felt better afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have a technique I can teach you here that helps to release anger.
Wonderful.
Okay. It's called pushing out the anger. And the way you do it, you bring your fists right to your chest, like right to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of like connect to wherever it is that you're feeling anger in your life. And you inhale that, and then you exhale and you and you just push it out right in front of you, all right? And then you inhale with the hands to the heart, and then exhale.
Actually push your hand out?
You push the hand out.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to embrace the grief or the anger as fuel for healing. And we want to let it move through the body, almost like it's hot energy and hot fuel. And so the way that I'm releasing it is through the breath and the vibration of my voice to help it to move through. There's a discharge that happens even if I'm just kind of like going, right? There's a release that's happening both physically and through my voice. And yet sometimes when I do this, sometimes people be like,
like you're ratty.
It's like they're rocky or something, you know? And I'm like, great. But as you keep doing it, release it with the hand. Stop holding on to it, but allow it as fuel for healing. Do you want to try it with me?
Sometimes
just embody it.
Yeah.
All right, so you just bring your fists to your chest and just focus on where do you hold anger in your life or body. Maybe somebody having a hard time forgiving. And then grasp your fists with dynamic tension and take a deep inhale. Push one hand out, it'll go in front of you. That's it. Fists to the heart with your inhale. With the other hand, let it go. Good. Ooh. One more time on each side. Inhale, let it go. Good. Fists to the heart. Inhale, let it go. Good. Now just shake out your hands a little bit. Move your hands around. And then bring your hands to your belly, to your diaphragm. And then just begin to observe your breath. And then maybe something to inquire about this is, what is this anger here to teach me? Or what is the fear beneath the anger? And then to go into a little inquiry within about what is the message? And maybe the anger is, just let me express it. Let me find a way to move it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's like, there's a deeper fear underneath it. Can you connect to what that is?
Right.
First, you know, and then if you want to, sometimes I'm a big person on positive psychology and using affirmations.
Right.
But I believe also we need to release what the negative is before we kind of connect to it. Like you might be thinking, you know, you might do an affirmation like, I'm strong, I am resilient. Yet deep down inside, you might be feeling like, I feel broken, I feel weak. So instead, we need to express where it is that we might be feeling the negative thoughts or emotions, and then come back to the positive thoughts after you've released it, and then connect to, I am resilient, I am courageous, there is no obstacle I cannot overcome. But if we start to express where we authentically are, let it move through the mind and the body, and then start to plant a seed of an affirmation that can start to fill us up, and then continually water it and continually try to like help but nurture it. I think that can be a powerful way of healing.
Right. And you just, that whole experience, you can feel it. You can absolutely feel it. But it also reminded me, when I was at church on Sunday, the rector was talking about when something happens in your life, there's a change and you're kind of excited about it. And then you're like, oh, but I'm a little bit scared. You know, like if it's, I just got out of a bad relationship, I'm so happy that I don't have to deal with that anymore. But it's been a long time since I've been by myself. I'm really kind of scared about that, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's like one feeling may be what it is, but then there may be something deeper that's right behind it.
Yes. And there's a lot of suppressed emotions that will start to come up after you're doing these powerful releases. But the wisdom of what yoga helps to do is it helps us to just become present.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can get stuck in our grief with, we have regrets from the past, or we can have fear and anxiety of the future and the unknown. But what happens if you just connect to, but in this moment right here, right now, I'm okay, I'm safe, I have everything I need, you know, I am wise here, I can connect to my intuition here, and let me just be present. And so I think that those fears are normal. And sometimes for people, if you want to just instead doing that exercise we just did and focus on the fears, I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of what's to come. Breathe that in, acknowledge it, don't deny it, but also let it go. I'll show you another technique.
I was just going to interject one thing. I think the caregivers that are watching this would be extremely beneficial for them because they have such a hard time being present because they're so busy caring right. for their loved one. And so something like this almost forces you to be present and just breathe and acknowledge whatever you're afraid of or the anticipatory grief you spoke of or when your loved one does die. And you know, I think this would be huge for caregivers, for sure.
And it's great for caregivers because they also experience compassion fatigue because right. they're always out there helping everybody else.
Right.
And so what can happen for them is they then start to feel empty inside, you know, because they're always constantly giving.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I teach this to thousands of therapists, counselors, and healthcare professionals. And they have to, like, take care of themselves, too. And they need to, like, this is a perfect practice for them because in order for them to really be fully present and take care of others, they got to first take care of themselves.
That's exactly right. So I interrupted you. You were going to show us another exercise.
No, it's cool. I love doing this. So sometimes people feel like maybe a little bit like they're stuck in their grief. You know, I'm like, as you were talking about, I'm afraid of the future and I just feel a little stuck. Or if I haven't been able to like laugh or cry for months, I just feel like I'm in a place of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you feel like you might be a victim towards a situation or circumstance, it's hard to heal a victim. And so this next technique I want to teach, it's called breaking the chains. And it's about breaking free wherever it is that you might be feeling stuck. And all of these are from seated position. And I make sure that my legs are not crossed, just so you know, too.
Okay.
So the breaking chains. You bring your hands and they're parallel over your chest. Like you're kind of in chains here mm-hmm. and your fists tight. And you just connect to wherever it is that you might be feeling stuck in your life, in your mind or body. Mm-hmm. And then you inhale that and then you push your elbows back and like a,
Did you say you push your back back?
You push your elbows back.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. And as you do this, just so you understand what's happening here, I also use the vibration of my voice and breath to release to help me to reconnect back to my roar. Because grief can get so exhausting, we need to kind of find our strength and move into our empowerment. And so we're discharging, right? Using the vibration of the voice and the breath. But we're also, as we do this and connect to our roar,
And
it's
are you
also
as we connect to our roar, R-O-A-R? Roar. Okay.
R, like a lion.
A lion, right.
Roar.
I like that. Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
But you're doing it too. And I just am saying, as you connect to your roar, you're also opening up your heart space as you push your elbows back. So
right.
if you want to try this, let's do it three times. All okay. right. Bring your hands.
Everybody, time. I hope you're doing this.
Bring your hands. They're parallel over your chest, and your fists are tight. Take a moment here and just focus on where do you feel stuck in your life, in your mind or body. Maybe something where you're a prisoner of your fears. And take a deep inhale. Push both elbows back. Yeah. Again.
Inhale. I like that. I got a good one. My weight. I'm sick to death of not being successful, losing some weight. So that's what this is about for me.
There you go. And maybe it's that trap of feeling like, you know, you feel like your body is not the way you want it to be. And so what if you just hold that and the prisoner of maybe shame about your body and inhale that and then push your elbows back and break free. Yeah, let's do one more here. Inhale. Exhale, let it go. Yeah, nice. And then just shake out your hands.
I just lost a pound.
Losing weight here and get rid of our
Oh, Lordy. I just turned 60, and I'm telling you, the metabolism isn't what it used to be.
Of course. Yeah. So that's great. Good job.
Yeah, no, that was, and all of these things are, like you say, you can do it sitting down, but then you can still feel the power.
You can. Well, you're feeling the power. You see, these are powerful postures to embody. but also using the powerful breathing techniques to help us to kind of push through where we're feeling stuck.
Exactly. Awesome. So I do have a question that a lot of our viewers may be kind of wondering about, and that is, what if I don't feel like I'm physically fit enough to do yoga?
Absolutely. I just taught a workshop recently, and I had a woman who was 80 years old, and she had so many issues with her body, and she's like, I don't like yoga. She goes, I don't want to do this. And we were at a weekend workshop where she was part of it. And I'm like, tell you what, why don't you just come and just sit down in a chair. Chairs, doing it from the chairs is totally fine. And just be present. And even if you're not physically doing the postures, if you want to mentally just kind of like pretend like you're doing it, then that's okay. And so she ended up showing up. And I had it where she had a chair, but she also had a yoga mat that she could use too. And she's like, if I go down on the yoga mat, I can't get back up. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, so you don't have to go down. Just if you want to come to it, it's there for you. But if you want to just come to your chair, it's there for you too. And so before I knew it, she was just up and she was doing the practice. I created intentionally to be, because I know we have so many injuries, and I know that also with grief and loss, we can really feel we don't have enough energy. Mm-hmm. And so I know I have also injuries too. So it's really, again, this is not about trying to make your body into a pretzel. This is really about finding emotional liberation in techniques and exercises that anybody can do. So just as grief and loss might be universal, I wanted to create a physical practice where this can be universal. And if you feel like I can't even extend my hand out as far as that, then maybe just kind of, you know, just a little out is enough. You know what I mean? But it's helping you to just connect to also your teacher within that allows you to say, okay, what can I do here? What is possible for me? And maybe to just play a little bit with your edge about what you're able to do. And she talked to me afterwards about, like, the next day, how she goes, you know, my body feels a little sore, like I was working muscles I hadn't. She goes, but I actually feel much better, mm-hmm. you know. And it's again, sometimes the intention is to move into empowerment. And so you might feel a little sore if there's, but I always say, if there's physical pain involved, then just pull back and rest. But I say, if there's an emotional struggle, move forward with a sense of worry and just letting go with the breath and with movement. Mm. So,
and that is what is so very unique about this grief yoga, is it isn't about getting into a pretzel. It's really so inward and about your emotional well-being and state of mind and all that. So such an important distinction and difference. I'm really glad we cleared that up. So let me ask this. What if I've tried yoga before and how is this different? And I think you touched on it just then, but maybe get into that a little bit more. So are you doing downward dogs? Are you doing all that kind of thing? Or yeah. Is it totally different?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the different types of yoga, because some of those were crazy words that I don't know what they mean. And also where you, the various locations you're doing this at.
Sure. What was the first part? There are some specific yoga postures that I do that are still, you know, I blend it all together. So is downward dog or a warrior two or tree? Yeah, that's still a part of it too. But what I do with it is that there's intentions behind postures that I bring into it that says, let's explore this a little bit with this intention and this posture. Whether it be with tree pose, which is working on balance. Sometimes when we're experiencing our grief, it's so easy for us to feel imbalanced. And so we work on that. Downward facing dog really is a powerful posture to help with our immune system. But I really I love bringing intentions behind the exercises.
Yeah.
Can I show you another one?
Please.
So one of the things that I feel like perhaps that people experience that can get stuck in their grief and loss is feeling regrets from the past, maybe things that you feel like I should have done this, or what if I would have done this, or if only I would have done this. And I think of that they sometimes keep us stuck within our loss. I have this technique and exercise that helps to kind of move that through a little bit. And because I think of the regret a little bit like they're weeds in our life, and they take up our soil of our peace and our prosperity. So what if instead we embraced these regrets head on and we pulled out these weeds so we can just create a little space in our soil for some flowers to bloom?
Nice.
And so this technique is called pulling up the weeds. And the way you do it is you inhale and you grab a hold of a weed like it's in front of you. And you come to the thought, I should have done this. And you inhale that. And then you exhale. You just release it over your head. And then with the other hand, but what if I would have done this? I inhale that. And then I exhale. I release it and let it go. Now, if instead you would prefer to focus this on somebody else, you should have done this. What if you would have done this? You can totally focus this on somebody else too. But the interesting thing about this particular exercise is sometimes as I begin it, I'm not even aware of what the regrets are that I'm suppressing. But as I start to move through this exercise, subconscious thoughts and feelings that are repressed within my body will start to come up. You want to try it with me?
Yeah, I do, because I'm actually thinking of something that oftentimes it'll come to me, not oftentimes, I only think about it every so many years, but when it does come to me, I'm typically in the bed, like I've just woken up, and for whatever reason, it pops in my head, and I just can feel myself going, I wish I would just let that go. Why can I not let that go?
I think it needs to be expressed. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to, because it's there, you know, it's present, you know, within your mind. So what if you brought your mind and your body together to express it, to consciously let it go? Right. I think that's a good step.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's coming up for you because it's saying, you know, this is still weighing me down. This needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's address it.
Yeah, let's. I'm ready.
The way you do it is, as you inhale, grab a hold of that weed with that thought. Well, what if I would have done this, or I should have done this? You inhale that, and then you exhale, let it go over your head. Yeah. And then with the other hand, if only I would have done this, I inhale that, and then I exhale. Good. One more time on each side. Inhale, grab a hold of it. Exhale, let it go. Again, inhale, reach out for it. Exhale, let it go.
Love that.
And you can do it for as long as you want. I mean, sometimes I'll do that for about 2 to 3 minutes, because sometimes it takes a little bit of time for it to really sink in.
And I feel like I would need to do it enough to almost where I wear myself out. Like, okay, that weed is finally up, root and all, you know?
Yeah. And it takes a little time for us to take out all of the weeds.
Yeah.
But yeah, now if there's physical pain, then of course rest. But you know, do it as long as you need to. That we just got to clear them out, because we want some flowers to bloom in our soil. We want peace and prosperity. So sometimes we got to clear out these weeds of regret in order to do that.
Yeah, and when it comes with related to grief, if you can deal with the grief to where now all that you are left with are just enjoying the memories, you know, that's sort of the flowers in the soil. So now we get to enjoy the fun memories of this loved one, and we're not all tangled up in sadness.
I was teaching this practice to a therapist who had lost her son, and about halfway with the pulling up the weeds exercise, she started to cry. And she expressed how she was like, I thought I had processed a lot of my loss, and yet as I was doing this exercise, I had no idea of all of this repressed regret that I was holding on to, that maybe if I could have done something more, my little boy would still be alive. And as she went into a sweet place of crying and surrender, she talked to me afterward, and she was like, but I don't really know if that's really true, because the people at the hospital, they were calling me as Tiger Mama. Like I was constantly there doing everything that I could have for him. And then she started to reflect a little bit on a picture of her son and the memories that they shared together and his smile and the love and the adventures that they started to share. And I really think that's what we're trying to work towards within our grief. We're trying to honor the loss or wherever the negative feelings and thoughts and let it move through. But we want to come back to that place of love. We want to come back to that place of appreciation and gratitude for that connection. And I think that she wasn't even aware of the subconscious things that she was holding on to. But once she started to breathe in and let it go, she started to connect to it. And she actually then, I remember her telling me a week or two later, she created a garden in honor of her son, and she put a picture out there, and now there's flowers that are blooming in honor of their love together.
Wonderful. And yeah. This is just an assumption. I assume that hospices in your area refer people to you. I assume that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I teach this to bereavement groups, cancer support centers,
yeah. So
all types of loss, yeah.
And there are people all over the place. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some people internationally listening in as well and viewing. So tell us some of the places that you generally go, or I think you've got a couple of places that you just share where might we find Paul?
I travel all around the world, and I travel, I'm specifically in California, in LA, and but I have a couple of workshops that are coming up that I'm doing at, one is at Kripalu, which is it's in the Berkshires of Massachusetts, and I'm going to be doing that. It's called From Grieving to Believing, and it's with me, David Kessler, a grief expert. I've written several books on grief and loss, and also a spiritual medium. Her name is Maureen Hancock, and we've done it for many, many years, and that's going to be coming up in November. I also will be doing a workshop with David Kessler, too, at Esalen, which is on the California, on the West Coast, and we'll be doing a workshop there, too. So, I mean, the best way to find out, you know, if I'm coming to your area is to just go to my website, griefyoga.com, mm-hmm. and check and see if I'm coming to your area.
There you go. And then I hate it, but we're kind of running out of time, and I want to be respectful of your time. Very excited that you're offering the viewers a free gift. So would you like to tell them about that?
Sure. Yeah, I have this really great video that is, it's a 6-minute chair yoga video, and it's called Getting Unstuck. And it's all about kind of moving through where you're feeling stuck in your life, releasing challenging emotions, and finding a little more grace and flow into your life. And so if you are interested in that, you just go to unstuckyoga.com. unstuckyoga.com.
And we'll also supply the link.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll say that again?
I said we'll supply them a link with this interview.
Oh, great.
After I get this interview, there'll be a link that they can click on for that.
Yeah. So it's a seated thing that you can do right in front of your computer, that if you're ever feeling like a little stuck and you need to shift your day a little bit, it's a little 6-minute kind of a flow that will kind of just shift wherever it is that you might be stuck.
That's just awesome. Wow. Well, this is definitely, like I said, I'd never heard of yoga and grief coming together in such a beautiful, well, at all, but it sounds like it's just such a beautiful marriage. And I know you probably helped thousands and thousands of people, and I know you're going to help thousands more. So I really encourage the viewers, if you were not previously aware of Paul and his work, definitely, one more time, it's griefyoga.com. Mm-hmm. And Paul, you're amazing. So thank you so much, Tina, for what you do. And I can't wait to incorporate some of these things. And I'm going to look into learning a little bit more about some of these movements into my own life, because I can tell today that they would be very powerful. So
I love that.
Thank you.
Talking to you. Thank you for creating the space.
Absolutely. You're amazing. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Tina.